Oops. As usual, there's an oops. And by the way, folks, that's 359-9338. Because you make your generous pledge. People thought that Ronald Reagan was a beyond-the-pale class warrior, but I bet he's now cackling with glee and envy as he sits at Satan's right hand and looks up at the current Republican mob is doing now. In addition to pursuing the financial and moral bankruptcy of our nation, destroying the ecosphere, reviving nuclear weapons escalation, promoting nationalist paranoia, burdening us with about a $500 billion bill for the Iraq fiasco, botching the search for Osama bin Laden, and supporting dangerous rapture right superstitions, the Republicans have declared total class war. Unfortunately, the American working class is largely ignorant of the Bushite assault upon them and their descendants. Sure, Reagan tripped the corporate anti-labor trigger with the Patco firings. Yeah, Reagan and a Democratic Congress burdened us with an onerous payroll tax to save Social Security so that the Pentagon could pillage it with unwarranted, ineffective, and dangerous defense buildups. However, the current administration and the Republican-dominated Congress wallow in electoral hubris as the incomes of the mass of Americans continue to decline, along with government spending on social services. More potholes in the road assault your car, and you have less money for repairs. More poisons assault your body, and you're bankrupted by medical care. And speaking of bankruptcy, the Republican-ruled House passed the new bankruptcy reform bill. Just like the Senate vote for this bill, all the Republicans, joined by some turncoat Democrats, said, hell yes, we want to turn 30,000 to 210,000 Americans into debt peons. Just give us the chance. Well, they don't care if you went into debt due to a business failure, job loss, divorce, medical catastrophe, or military service in Iraq. You will be forced to pay the credit card companies, health care providers, and or the other pigs at the consumer credit trough, including the supposedly nonprofit credit counselor vultures. This law will mainly hit middle and lower income workers, and it will hit some of them very hard. The House voted to repeal the estate tax Wednesday, an action that will cost the federal government $290 billion over the next decade. This is another gift to the wealthy that will cost the rest of us some form of higher taxation on workers or more cuts in domestic spending. As the government faces unnecessary fiscal crisis, the Republicans will argue that the income tax system is broken and propose some sort of national sales tax which would hit workers hard while allowing the plutocracy to keep all of the ill-gotten booty they steal from us every day that we work for substandard wages. And by the way, folks, we have been in decline since 1973. Then they can pass their loot on to their children who've known nothing but a life of immense leisure. Our economy will be totally owned and operated by people who've never worked a day in their lives. We will live in a new form of feudalism, with many of us sentenced to lifelong debt peonage to the company store. Meanwhile, we must buy new shock absorbers for our vehicles as the potholes get bigger, deeper, and more numerous because there's no money to fix them. Finally, we have Bush touting his idiotic privatization scheme for Social Security that would cost trillions of dollars to finance, with many of those dollars going into the already overstuffed pockets of Wall Street brokers. Would an economist please add up how many trillions of dollars of debt that the Bushevics wore, their tax cuts for the wealthy, their repeal of the estate tax, and their Social Security privatization plan will cost us and our descendants? While the Republicans are behaving badly, it's worse that you hear no peeps of protest from our so-called labor movement. Well, it might help if we had an actual oppositional movement rather than just an aggregation of business unions who believe that they are partners with business and the government in a great capitalist enterprise. Our unions will be ineffective as long as they buy into the system. Bush monkeys' plot to destroy Social Security, or the votes on bankruptcy, or the estate tax repeal, would inspire European workers and their unions to hold general strikes and huge nationwide demonstrations in protest. Millions of angry workers would hit the streets of Italy, France, Italy, or Germany, maybe even England. What do we get in the United States? Well, I'm sure there's a statement of protest by AFL-CIO President John Sweeney on the AFL-CIO website, along with copies of press releases by Sweeney that are roundly ignored by the mainstream media. And diversity of membership is one of the biggest problems for uniting American workers politically in their unions. I could be on a crew that owns a includes a gun-owning, financially secure, middle-aged, white male journeyman, and a low-income African-American single mother apprentice who lives in fear of gun violence. And meanwhile, there are overeducated and radically environmentally aware laborers like me occasionally. Well, we have nothing in common on many issues, such as gun control, welfare, and environmental regulation. However, we all have a stake in bankruptcy and tax legislation, in addition to wanting to keep Social Security secure. These are economic issues, the bread and butter of labor politics. We should have no problem coming together with all working Americans, union and non-union, on these topics. You know, on my job this week, my coworkers knew all about Michael Jackson. They knew all about sports, reality TV shows, and all other sorts of trivial media effluvia. But they didn't know a thing about bankruptcy reform or the repeal of the estate tax. Fortunately, Bush Co.'s Social Security ideas got a lot of media play, and the polls show that Americans reject such plans by gargantuan margins. Although American labor is weak, we still have large political resources. We have money, and we still have millions of members who vote in high proportions. We have union locals in every sizable community in America. When these issues came up, we could have mobilized opposition throughout the country. Perhaps protest strikes are asking too much, but how about phone banks, letter-writing campaigns to politicians in the media, protest rallies, and pickets in front of government offices and those of politicians? Why aren't union leaders on the political chat shows? Where are their op-ed pieces? Why are we sitting on our fat asses in this handbasket to hell? I've not heard one thing from my union about any of these political events. These are not obscure and complicated issues affecting only unions and their members. They harm all Americans below the top 1 or 2% of the wealth pyramid. They could have been great rallying points for effective action. And perhaps some work and sacrifice from unions and their members could have shown all American workers that our movement works for all American workers. We might have broken our political and cultural isolation and built a true mass movement leading us to a much stronger position in this society. As usual, it's another opportunity lost to the hapless disarray, timidity, and lack of political will by labor leaders. We don't have a labor movement. Instead, we have a collection of dues-collecting fiefdoms of disorganized labor led by failures who mainly hope to hang on to their generous salaries and dwindling power. The best they can do is get us slightly better seats in this ham basket to hell called America. Meanwhile, Ronald Reagan flashes a gleaming smile as he sits at Satan's right hand. Stay tuned for From Bar Diverse, which will be 2 minutes short this week. And please call 359-9338, make a generous pledge. And during my commentary, that was Carl Esterbrook on percussion. Yeah.